and basketball analysis with over 70 years combined experience. This is the Bob Ryan and Jeff Goodman podcast.
NBA, some college, a little bit of everything.
You know what can I say? But it wasn't going to happen here with him. I was okay with it because it wasn't about talent, I didn't think.
All right, let's get right to it.
This episode of the Bob Ryan and Jeff Goodman Tangway Along for the Ride podcast is brought to you by FanDuel, the exclusive wagering partner of the CLNS Media Network. Sign up at FanDuel.com/Boston and claim your $200 bonus. FanDuel, official partner of Major League Baseball. Guys, we got a lot of issues, got a lot of controversy going on today. Let's start with Rudy Gobert and some fisticuffs going on between the Timberwolves. He and Kyle Anderson getting into it during a huddle in a game. So Gobert is going to be suspended for a game. He's going to miss the playing game against the Lakers. And according to agent Wojnarowski, he reported that Anderson told Gobert to shut the F up blank. And this is after they were chirping at each other to play better. Bob, you've seen many of these over the years.
Well, this is the timing is everything in this regard. This is incredible timing. If this happened on January 10th, and he was, you know, it'd be an amusing little subplot to the story. This is the worst possible timing. This is the dumbest possible thing.
Right.
And by the way, it's only the second dumbest thing on their team, because McDaniel's punching a wall and taking himself out of commission for however much they have left in the playoffs, which won't be much, I don't think. But still, there's a history of people punching walls in sports and losing. The wall wins.
The wall always wins.
Wall's undefeated. The walls around the world are undefeated.
Yes.
As our baskets supports, ask Kareem.
His
hand played. He's so angry with Kent Benson once upon a time.
Yeah.
But all right, so that's even dumber. But really and truly, always dumb. But seriously, Gobert is a vitally important player. Let's go back. They gave up 4 number ones for him, and you know, and it worked out that they made the playoffs and all that. But you know, and he had his moments, but
they got worse. Like Danny Ainge fleeced. He fleeced them in that trade. He completely fleeced. What's the AD's name?
I don't even know.
The GM's name who just came over.
I don't even know.
The guy from, shit. I forget.
That's right. Don't worry about it. That's why we have the internet.
All right. But so it's just timing is just beautiful. You know? But the Gobert's been something of an issue in that regard. And granted, there was a history with these two, a recent history. It goes without saying you can't do this. And
Tim Connolly, who just came over, made a ton of money to come over.
So, their chances were minuscule to start with,
right?
Now they do get, if they lose, they get another game, but they're not going anywhere. And so, but it's still it's unforgivable, frankly. I don't know what you do with him beyond a 1-game suspension. You know, you need the guy. I mean, you know, oh God, it's just a nightmare, really, for the Timberwolves. Period.
I mean, listen, Rudy Gobert is soft. So Kyle Anderson said what probably a lot of people want and maybe have said behind his back. He just got frustrated and said it at that time. The only thing I'll say to this is, I'm with you. Horrible timing, but maybe it flips a switch on him a little bit. I mean, again, it wasn't like we thought they were going to have any chance in the playoffs anyway. Maybe it flips a little bit of a switch on them and they play like men possessed. Obviously, they've got talent there. We know that, right? Anthony Edwards, Carl Anthony Towns, Rudy, they're talented. I don't think they fit well together. I said that from the moment they got Rudy Gobert. I thought it was a bad trade by Tim Connolly to give up that much for a guy in this day and age that can't shoot. He's a liability on the offensive end. You can't really have – you don't want to give up that much for a guy who's a one-way player, which is what Rudy Gobert is.
All right, so that's that. So meanwhile, their opponent is the team that is the most intriguing team in this play-in stuff, and maybe in the whole Western Conference, period. You can't, and here's my take, you can't dismiss them.
Now, the Lakers, of course not.
You cannot dismiss them. And we have to start with the idea that when Anthony Davis is healthy, he's somewhere in the top 10 players in this league. And he has had some spectacular games in good health this year. And LeBron is putting up, it's like if it were 2013 and he was putting up 28, 8, and 7, which is what he's putting up, and shooting 50% from the floor and doing LeBron things. This is 10 years later and he's still doing it. It is remarkable. He's kept that body in shape to do what he does. And his dedication to the craft is unquestioned.
Jeff, do you think that LeBron's longevity puts him past Jordan in the argument?
No, I don't. I mean, they're not winning another title. You know, if he can hang another banner, that's one thing. They're not hanging a banner. They're going to be, if they can get past the first round, and I don't mean Minnesota, I mean actual round of the playoffs.
Right.
That would be a hell of a season. They played great over the last couple months, but it's largely due to the play of Anthony Davis, not LeBron James.
Yeah, having him, I don't know how many games it is exactly that they played together, but it's shockingly few. But here they are together right now, and they're going to have to be hurt from.
Do you think, Bob? Do you think that the longevity for LeBron helps his argument against Michael?
It depends. For me, it doesn't matter anymore. I mean, because I've done long ago, 10 years ago, I made my mind up on this issue, which is that LeBron is bigger, stronger, faster, a better passer, a better rebounder than Michael Jordan ever was. But if I'm playing for my life tonight, I want Michael Jordan.
Right.
Period. For the inner fire, the competitiveness which combined with skill has never been surpassed in this league, with the possible exception of William F. Russell in a whole other world, in a whole other job description, that they stand apart for their combination of everything that goes into making them what they were, which is talent and heart and competitiveness and intelligence and all that and game intelligence. They're the gold standards, Russell of his time and Jordan of everything post Russell. But LeBron, I don't see how anybody can dispute what I said about the technical difference between the two. But we all know that you can't rely on LeBron the way you could rely on Michael.
Michael was a killer, no doubt about it. Okay.
Before we leave the topic of the Lakers in general, I have a question for our friend here, Mr. Goodman. At what point in your basketball consciousness did Austin Reeves enter into your radar screen?
Boy, I didn't know if he'd make the league, never mind be a factor in the league. I remember talking to him a couple of years ago. He transferred out of Wichita State, went to Oklahoma. I was working on a piece about Greg Marshall, talked to him off the record a little bit for that one. He didn't give me much, but no, I didn't ever think Austin Reeves. But you know what? Guys that can shoot the hell out of the ball like that, they've got a chance right now, and Austin Reeves has some shit to his game. Shoots it, and he has surprised the heck out of me getting this far.
Well, he flew under my personal radar screen. I was this is all a revelation to me, but the guy's been an important factor in what they've done in the last 2 months and what they've done lately right now. They're very interesting. They did address their problem.
Yes.
Properly. Beasley and Hachimura can make shots. Reeve can make shots.
Yeah.
This is what they needed. We all knew this. Everybody, it's why I they're at Lumen. They could make life very interesting in the next few weeks for the Western Conference.
Well, and D'Angelo Russell's been good for them. I mean, he gives them a third option. He gives them a third offensive option. And some of those other guys in aren't as – I mean, they were so reliant on Austin Reeves early in the season. And now it's like, okay, they've got some help. Like you said, Rui is a good piece. Beasley's a good piece. D'Angelo Russell can go for 20 on any given night. So, it felt like you had two dudes early and one of which was hurt all the time. And he was hurt, obviously, a big part of the early part of the season, which was Anthony Davis. And then LeBron gets hurt and they're not quite as reliant. They've got other guys now.
I'm keeping my eye on them. That's for sure.
All right, so now we have the Dallas tanking issue. After a 115-112 loss without Kyrie, Tim Hardaway Jr., and others, the NBA is investigating the Dallas Mavericks into tanking. I don't think Jason Kidd helped with his comment here, and I'm using part of the quote. He said, with this decision, It is a step back, but hopefully leads to going forward. Jason, you know, don't make it easy for him, okay? But Bob, this is old as the hills. You know, what's going to happen here?
Well, this was just so specific to one circumstance as opposed to the generality of Philadelphia doing what they did to get, you know, what they did. Oh, the Houston Astros. I
mean, everybody's right. Tanking. Everybody's tanking.
Yeah. No, this is specific, though, to one night, you know, when they overtly do it, when everyone knows that the difference between, you know, a draft pick possibility and a useless spot in the playoffs, yeah. You know, is there. And if Wembanyama isn't lurking out there, maybe they don't do this, you know, but he is. And though it's only a 14% chance, it's better than a 0% chance or 1% chance. I mean, Jeff, from what you talk to people here, I mean, are you buying into this guy being as potentially phenomenal as they'd say?
I mean, if he stays healthy, but again, he's got a body that, you know, it's kind of the opposite of Zion and reminds me of Chet Holmgren a little bit.
This is where we were a year ago with Holmgren, except on a higher level in terms of the international scope of it and the praise that he's getting.
They're doing it for him. I'm not even sure they're doing it for Victor, Bob, as much as it's a business decision for Mark Cuban saying, you know what, this pick, whatever it's going to be, you know, one or 10 is more valuable than us going in and getting knocked out in the playing game anyway. You know, they just did it in such a way, right? Yeah. Luka, you're playing for a quarter. Like, come on. How stupid can you be? You're going to play him for a quarter? And again, it was just like giving Adam Silver the middle finger on this one. That's kind of what they were doing. And now I'm very curious because there doesn't need to be an investigation. what the hell does there need to be an investigation for? We know they tanked. Now, again, the difference, and Mark Cuban probably will say this, is I'm not the only one. I'm not the only one tanking. Everybody's sitting their best players here. The difference was they had a chance to get in the playoffs for that game. And Mark Cuban made the business decision that it's more advantageous for us to get potentially a high lottery pick and build, you know, have some help for Luka and maybe Kyrie than it is for us to go and get knocked out of the play-in or the first round of the playoffs and get the, you know, 16th pick.
And he's right.
He's right.
I mean, so Jeff, what happens, Bob? I mean,
what happens?
He pays a fine.
No, a fine was.
They'll take away a pick. I don't know if it'll be that pick. I mean, if Adam Silver's got some you-know-whats, he'd take away that pick and move it down and say, you're not in the lottery anymore. We're not giving you the chance to be in the lottery. Now you are the 15th overall pick or whatever it is, and you don't have any chance. That's what Adam Silver should do. But again, if you do that, you set a kind of a good precedent, but a dangerous one, because then – Cuban's going to say, well, what about those other teams that are out there clearly tanking as well?
No fine that doesn't begin with a B will faze Mark Cuban. So forget about him, not fining him as having any kind of an influence on him or hurt on him. No, that's a slap on the wrist. You're right, Jeff. It'll be very interesting to see because if they come off and just fine him, it's just going to be a joke.
Well, but here's the situation. Here's the argument that Silver will make. He has to do this now. He has to stem the tide and set the example because of the circumstances. So if another team or if Cuban says, well, you didn't do it to this team, and you could say, yeah, but Mark, what you did is you lost so you wouldn't make the playoffs specifically that day. That's the only argument he can make, Jeff. Right. Is it specific, as you said, specific to the situation? Because there's no way he's going to do it to everybody that tanks, generally. But if he doesn't do something now, it's going to happen again.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, when's he going to wake up and realize that he has the equivalent of human poison on his roster?
Again, you know, I think he probably realized it to some degree, although Kyrie put up numbers, which he always does.
Yeah.
But again, when you look at the record of your team, that generally tells you.
Yeah. And the future of Kyrie is going to be very interesting. Very interesting.
Yep.
So let's move on now to Jaylen Brown is a – we got a lot to talk about with Jaylen Brown. So let's break it down. Let's start with the hand injury first, okay, where he was watering flowers and the vase broke and Bob Ryan's not buying any of it.
Problem is, and as Dan Shaughnessy wrote in the Boston Globe just on Tuesday morning, he's burdened with history in Boston. We've been through this in many different ways in many different teams, and we wound up rolling our eyes at the end of most of them. You know, yeah, really? You think so? And we got caught. One guy got caught, literally got caught in the big lie, which was Irving Fryer.
When right.
Said yeah. He put his hand in a drawer and it hit a knife and said he was stabbed by his wife slash girlfriend, partner slash partner, or whoever the female of the second part was. And we've had such a history of him that we can't, he's burdened by this. No, we're just conditioned to not believe the stories that these people tell. And this one, I still have.
Watering grass, a plant?
Grass, yeah, but the grass was broke. I know. I can't reconstruct
watering it. A plant. The vase broke. He went to pick up the glass and he cut himself.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, Jaylen Brown seems to be. I could see him being a horticulturist. I mean, I could see him having a.
It's him. I don't know. Whatever he did, he's got to be hardly. He's embarrassed by it. And he's hoping we're going to buy that story, I think. I'm sorry. It's and of course, talk about timing. Thanks a lot, Jaylen. You know, as the playoffs loom,
Well, now the other big thing surrounding him right now, and this is something and we'll get to the trade rumors in a minute. Bob is poo pooing them, and that's fine. But this is what Jaylen Brown has to deal with. I just feel, and we discussed this last time, that he can't win. So he comes out and he basically says, I don't know what my future holds. So then everybody takes that and says, oh, he's leaving, right? And it got so bad that he had to come out and say, I love it here. I want to play here. I want to win a championship. Now, the poor guy, if he leaves at the end of next year, they're going to come back and they're going to haunt him with those quotes. So just stop. Stop, media.
But what do you say? These players, they're in a tough spot because whatever you say.
You can't win, Jeff.
Can't win. Can't win. No matter what, you can't win. You know, if you say you're happy here and then you leave, well, he lied to us.
Right. If he pledges fidelity, then, right. Yeah, you know, we went through this.
Yeah. I mean, I think you just say you're happy here no matter what.
Hey, Lucas, you know, as recently as yesterday, Lucas on record, that's where his stance is. I'm okay here. I'm happy.
They're all happy until they're not. They're all happy until they're not, and then they demand a trade. Like, that's – don't you expect that to happen with Luka? Like, he's happy now. Bradley Beal, I've said that for a couple of years. Isn't there going to be a point – Bradley Beal just signed a huge contract a year ago. Isn't there going to be a point where Bradley Beal says, you know what? I want to win. I want out of this contract. I want out of Washington. There's going to be that point.
This is – I'm just thinking this is all the rage right now, the guys get this level that they can and they have the leverage available to them in the end because the contractual situation is over. They can become a free agent, blah, blah, blah. Okay. We went through this 40 years ago with Kevin McHale. And who knows if Jan Volk didn't cleverly poison pill the contract so that the Knicks with the compensation couldn't come up, you know, with it. And he may very well have left then, you know, to get his own show. If at that time, well, he didn't, and we all know what happened, you know, two championships later. So this isn't, you know, but in the case of Jaylen Brown, though, I pose this question all the time. To what degree does he see himself in competition with Jaylen, with Jason Tatum in terms of recognition?
Yeah.
Why am I not worth the max contract kind of thing, you know?
Right.
Look at my numbers this year. Look at my value. Look at my overall value at both ends.
Because he's not as good as Jason Tatum, period. He's not as good. He's a great number two. He can't be a number one for a team that goes deep in the playoffs. He can't. And to me, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong. Look at Scottie Pippen made a hell of a career on that, didn't he?
Damn right. And Michael doesn't win without Scottie. And right. Vice versa, though. It's true. Well, hey, and I mentioned Kevin. You know, Kevin was indispensable to that cause. and he complimented, you know, with a knee Larry so well, and vice versa, you know. Okay, fine. And, but he was never a number one, you know, and he was, you know, he was Larry's. Larry was number one for everyone.
Imagine, hey, imagine if Scottie Pippen had been double teamed his entire career.
Oh, you forget him. He's not, you know, he's not top 50 of all time or whatever, right. Top 75. Right. I mean, forget about it.
Imagine if Jaylen Brown was double teamed every possession, right?
Yeah,
now.
Jeff, you're right. And so what I think of these trade rumors that have Bob up in arms a bit, because it is the silly season. But for example, there's a report that Damian Lillard has Jaylen Brown on his list. Okay.
Sure he does. And he should.
And he should. But from Jaylen's perspective, you go to Portland, you're still number two, right?
You're number two and nobody's paying attention. You're all the way out in the boonies in Portland. And Damian Lillard's not Jason Tatum's age either, by the way. You know, those guys.
Oh, no.
Again, I've said this over and over. And people took this the wrong way. They're not like best friends. They're friendly. Of course they're friends. They're not best friends. They're not hanging out all the time. But they're friendly. They hang out a little bit, whatever.
Well, Bird and McHale weren't bad. Bird and McHale weren't hanging out.
Exhibit A. Thank you.
Yeah. You don't have to be.
Exhibit A.
You don't have to be. Right.
They respected each other's game. They respected each other professionally. They respected.
They helped each other.
But they had they each had quibbles. Kevin thought Larry needed to get a life, and Larry thought Kevin needed to get serious.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. But, these guys have figured it out. A year ago, a year and a half ago, we were bemoaning the fact that they couldn't play together. Now they figured that part out. To me, let this thing kind of grow. And Jaylen Brown embraced being a number two and an all-star, and embraced the fact that if you don't have Jason Tatum, you're not having the success.
Well, here's another thing. Like, you know, then there's another thing. This was out today, like Jaylen Brown for Luka Doncic, because he's going to want to go out of Dallas. I mean, Jaylen, you want to go to Dallas?
Right, right.
You want to go to Dallas and be in a lottery for the next two or three years? I mean, you want to
play with Kyrie again, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, if he sticks around. I mean, do you want to do that? But so I think what Jaylen will be faced with is that the best situation is going to be here, because I don't think anybody is going to give him number one money. Are they?
Oh, I think there might be a bad team that gives him number one money. I do think that could happen, because a lot of those small market teams know you have to overpay to get a guy like Jaylen Brown, and they may think he's got number one potential. So I could see that. I just think the Celtics can offer more than anything else, money-wise.
Well, I hope that Jaylen understands, and he, again, I'm on his side. I feel bad for the guy. But I hope he understands, Bob, that Jaylen, with also what he wants to do with his life off the court, his best platform is with the Celtics. I mean, you know, he's as popular, like, okay, he's the number two. I understand what you're saying. Like, Taylor's the best guy. But when it comes to popularity, yes. And I'll use McHale again. McHale was in Boston. McHale was as popular as Bird. Nobody said that McHale was better than Bird, but they were both huge stars. I think Jaylen is as popular as Tatum. Everybody knows he's not as good,
right.
But he's as popular and as appreciated,
because
he's not going to get that anywhere else.
He's more out there, right? He's out there a little more in the community. Obviously, you know,
he's a great quote.
A family.
Yeah, he's a great. Yeah, right. He's a great quote. I'm not saying that Jason isn't, but I mean, I think, you know, Jaylen is a great quote.
He's more outspoken. He's more outspoken. Tatum is.
Oh, yeah.
Has grown into where he's now comfortable in his own skin talking, but you know, Jaylen's been that way. For a few years, and you know, especially coming out of the Black Lives Matter movement, I think he was so he was kind of so poetic in what he said, and I think that to me garnered him a lot of appreciation for how outspoken he was, and I think the community loves Jaylen Brown. I think again, if you're Brad Stevens, you want to keep them together, but you also got to find a way to put a team around them, money-wise, that you don't want to be hampered where you can't have a supporting cast for those two either.
I remember when they drafted him out of Cal Berkeley, which and that the way he was portrayed as this rather intellectual fellow and a guy who immediately started making goo-goo eyes at Harvard, you know, in the sense. And I remember thinking, God, I hope this guy's, is basketball his number one priority? You know, is he serious enough about this? Well, of course, it turned out he's turned out to be a terrific player. But, you know, there was a question about his dedication to the art, you know, to the job.
Is he too smart?
because of his worldly manner and his worldwide interest and his obvious intellect and sincere interest in world affairs and, you know, and so on and so forth. You know, I like the kid. The Celtics lead the league in future politicians. You know, we got three guys who I wager will not spend their post career in basketball. Of course, he's one, and Brogdon's the other, of course, three is. Am I forgetting the third one? We just got one, but you know, we got three smart guys on this team, and you know, Grant Williams, right. We got Grant Williams. You know, I predict that none of them are going to spend the future in basketball. They're going to spend the future in the real world. I'm predicting that.
Well, I hope Jalen stays, and I think he's going to find that this is the best spot for him all the way around.
The stupid five stitches are out by the time they start playing on this week.
Yeah, you know what? I believe him.
Really?
I have no reason not to believe him.
Well, our history here.
Our history.
I'm not a cynic, and I'm even really a skeptic. But on this particular topic, I am a skeptic.
Okay, Bob, we got it. You're on the record. What was the one? Rondo fell in the shower. That was another one. There's a Reggie Lewis in the Friolator
Maybe the best one was Shaky Walton going through the glass, but that happened.
What was it?
Shaky Walton, Mike. What? Remember the Bruins went through a glass window or glass? Yeah, in St. Louis, I think it was. Oh yeah, Bruins fans will know this.
We have a
tremendous history in Boston.
Oh, we do.
We had a baseball manager commit suicide in spring training, for God's sake. What other team can say that? You know?
Jesus.
So, it's true.
Yeah, I didn't.
Stall, 1907. Wow. And he did it in West Baden, Indiana, home of?
Go ahead.
Larry Bird.
What's the town?
West Baden is the sister town to French Lick.
Really?
Oh, okay.
It is the sister. You know, you don't know whether which one you're in. You know, it's like at BC. Am I in Boston? Am I in Newton? Or am I in Brookline? Depends on where you are on the campus, right?
Or Bob, you could use an example that only you and I would understand. Are you in Rumford? Are you in Mexico? Or are you in Dixfield? I knew you'd like that, Bob. Before we go, we just have to let you say your piece on the 40-30 club, because we get these tweets from Bob Ryan, Kenneth Lofton Jr. joins the 40 is the new 30 club as the 40 points continue to grow.
Was that in the G League?
No, he got 40 the other night. And
Kenneth Lofton Jr. got 40.
He got 40. The first thing I had to do was make sure that he wasn't Kenny Lofton's son. Well, he's not.
He's a lot bigger. He's a lot bigger than Kenny Lofton's son.
Well, his father was a postal worker, so he's not Kenny Lofton's son. Yeah. But folks out there, I've been kidding all year. And Jeff came up with the numbers the other day. Jeff came up with the numbers of how many the all-time record 40 point games is this year.
By far.
And some of the identities. And by the way, who was? Oh, Cam Thomas had three in a row. Then he had another one the other day.
There were 58 more than any other season. There were 240 point games a season before, I think, big Kenny Lofton Jr. got 40.
So, you know, 40 to me is the new 30, you know, and 50 is the new, 45 anyway.
What does that mean? You know, what do they say for ages now? 70 is the new 50?
Yeah. I mean, this is sure. Well, it depends on, you know, but yeah. So this is 40 is the new 30. There's no question about it. And we have come so far, guys. You know, I was just going out of my mind 15, 20 years ago. The league was in its ice age. And teams weren't even taking 80 shots a game at times, and
it was awful.
It was dreary.
Hard to watch.
Peaked with the mid 90s when the Rockets, those two championships, and the Bulls series Jazz finals were dreadful. There was one in which nobody scored 100. Imagine that today.
Brutal.
Think about that. Not that long.
Now we've gone to the other extreme. We've gone to the other extreme here.
Oh, you mean with the Warriors threatening the record with 55 points in a quarter. Record still held by the Buffalo Braves against the Boston Celtics in a losing effort. My all-time favorite betting story.
But listen, the only thing I'll say is you'll know the number. I don't remember the number. We had AC Earl go for how many at the Garden?
Oh, he got four. Oh, yeah. He had 40-some.
Right. So
that was the record. Wasn't that the opponent record?
In the new Garden. It was ridiculous. Yes. Yeah. He came in. I think he came in after he left the Celtics.
Yeah, it was with Toronto, I think, right?
Yeah. So if AC Earl can go for 40-plus, Kenneth Lofton Jr. can go for 40-plus.
Kenneth Lofton Jr., about whom I knew nothing.
You now know who he is.
Yeah, all right, guys. I know, and I know who he isn't. And he's not Kenny Lofton's son. I was hoping he was.
Great job as always, fellows. This episode of the Bob Ryan, Jeff Goodman, Tangway Along for the Ride podcast brought to you by FanDuel, the exclusive wagering partner of the CLNS Media Network. FanDuel, official partner of Major League Baseball. Gentlemen, until next week.